Thank you. Good morning, folks. Brother Mitch here from Lexington Christian Church. Another Sunday that we're out of the building, but at least this time, praise God, it's not because of COVID. And still, we can't be here because of the weather. So we want to continue to move on with our service here. I trust that some of you at least found us and you got to be blessed by the song. So we want to open up with some scriptures. We're continuing on in our series, even though everybody's not here. We can still, through technology, come into your home, through your device of your choice. And so thank God for technology that can be used for His glory and His honor and His namesake. So let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your many, many blessings. Thank you, God, that you make a way, always make a way, when we are willing to seek out you and seek out your ways. You always make it possible for us to meet together. Even if it's not in person, face to face, we can still come together through technology. So, Lord, we do thank you. We do praise you for all of this. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the message this morning, that it will move hearts and change minds, and maybe change hearts for your glory and to add to your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. All right, we've got some scripture to look at here. Let me bring it up. And we will see if we can get it going here. From the book of Matthew 20, verses 29 through, I think it goes to 34 altogether. So here we go. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us!" The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us!" Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they said, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Wow. Wow. So we see here, in a continuing segment of what we've been studying. Last week we had the two brother disciples who asked their mother to go ask Jesus to give them a place on his right and on his left in his kingdom to come. Now we can see that that was not a proper question, because their hearts were not right. They were asking for glory in the kingdom to come for themselves, and they were looking out for number one. They were looking out for themselves, but what they were asking was not proper, because it was not a matter of humbling themselves before Christ because of a heartfelt need. This was out of greed that they were asking for this before somebody else asked. "I'm going to ask first." And the response of the other disciples was just as wrong, because they also then were kind of put out with the other two brothers. The other two disciples looked down on them. And that's when Jesus went through all of this whole explanation of how the kingdom governing system is so much different than the world's governing system. In the world, you know, if you can beat up everybody or beat down everybody, you can become the boss. You know, you can browbeat them, you can hold things over their head, you can find garbage on people, and you can maneuver and lie and cheat, and you can become the boss in this world's system because it's ran by Satan. This is his playground. But in the kingdom of heaven, it's not that way. If you want to be on top, then you have to go the lowest. You have to be the most humble. You have to cry out. And so here today, as we moved into this next pericope, this next section of Scripture, we see here that we have these two blind men that out of a broken heart, out of need. You know, I mean, we're not told if these men have families or not, but I'm sure that there's some form of family, and they obviously have some friends who help them get to the places near the temple where they can receive alms. And so here they want to be able to participate in life. They want to go to work. They want to be able to earn a living for themselves and for their family. They want to be able to honor God more with their lives than just sitting back and depending on others. You know, they didn't have the kind of welfare systems that we have today where people can sit at home and draw a check and food stamps and all this stuff. The only option they had was to get somebody to help them get near the temple so that they could beg for alms. And that's what they did. And that's how they survived. People would drop a coin in their hand or in their cup or whatever. And then they used that to survive on, to eat on. We don't know if they lived with other people or if they had a place before they went blind. We're not told any of these details. But what we are told is that when they heard that Jesus was coming through, they had faith enough to believe. They had faith to trust that he could heal them. They had heard the stories of the other miraculous healings that he had done. And they were just excited to have this opportunity to ask, Lord, Son of David. I mean, think of the title they're using here. They're saying, we recognize you as the king. We recognize you as the Messiah. Just please hear us. Give us an opportunity. Listen to us. Have mercy on us. And you know, like so many in the crowd, even the disciples pushed them aside. Nah, you're not worthy of the master's time. You know, it's obvious you were born in sin. You're blind. Blah, blah, blah. You know, the old saying. I mean, how many times I can remember growing up in the Baptist church in Henryville, where I grew up, there were times when young people my age, teenagers, I can remember being a teenager, and there would be others from my school, some from my own class, that would come in, and from time to time, they would go forward and at the invitation, and then there would be these whispers. They're not going to get right. They're not going to get saved. They're not sincere. Well, it's not just kids who do that. There's adults who unfortunately have that attitude too. You know, we had a neighbor when I was an adult in Henryville. The church had a neighbor, rather, that same Baptist church where I went to. And the neighbor across the street in a house that I later lived in was an alcoholic. And the man, one Sunday morning, I can remember, we had just done some remodeling in the church building and new carpeting, different things. And he had been working on his car on that Sunday morning. And he'd had an accident and he cut his finger almost off. And it was bleeding. And he didn't have anybody. He didn't have anybody to contact. Didn't have any way of contacting anybody. So he looked, saw a church full of people. So what did he do? He comes to the church, and he interrupts the service. Oh, God forbid that the service gets interrupted. And he was bleeding. And you know, the pastor that was there at that time, his major concern was, get him outside. He's bleeding on our new carpet. You know, at the time, I didn't think a lot of that. But now, this says a lot about where our heart is. More concerned about things than people's souls. Knowing this man was lost, and I know that that minister had tried ministering to this man many, many times, and he had refused the gospel. He had refused Jesus. And yet, here's an opportunity. He has a genuine need. And we treated him like they treated these blind men, like refuge, like garbage, like it didn't matter. And that breaks my heart now. And I am so guilty of that at times myself, and I'm ashamed of that. And I ask God's forgiveness. And you know, we have to be careful not to block people who want to come truly to Christ, people who truly recognize who he is, people who truly have a need. And maybe before that, they have never really saw the need. But now, all of a sudden, they want to come to Christ. We have no right to tell them no. In fact, Jesus stopped all these people. And he called out to them himself and said, what do you want? What do you want? You know, isn't that sad when God's people have to be corrected by God himself to tell them, hey, who do you think you are? To stop people from coming to me. I mean, just think of that. How awful it is. But then, as always, Jesus turns what could be awful into something awesome. Because he asked them, what do you want? And their heart's desire was just, I mean, it was poured out to him right in front of everybody. Lord, we want to see. And you know, having an eye disease with being legally blind, I can understand their desire, you know. And here Jesus immediately says, okay, I have compassion on you. I will help you. And he healed them. And they could see. Now, you see, there's right questions that we can ask of God, and there's wrong questions that we can ask of God. Right questions have more to do with our being humbled, recognizing who he is and that he can supply the need and that it is a genuine need that we have, versus what the two brothers, the two disciples, did when they were greedily asking for them to be in positions of power in God's coming kingdom instead of something that they could do right now. You know, another example is when Solomon was a young man and he had his vision, and God told him, ask anything you will. And he said, wow, my father died and you kept your word to him and made me king in his place, and I'm a young man and I'm just not capable of leading all these people, so I'm asking for wisdom to lead your people. And God blessed him. He was so happy that he had asked for wisdom instead of for victory over his enemies, instead of, you know. Now, folks, again, we can ask for right things and we can ask for wrong things. Or we can even ask for right things with wrong reasons, wrong motives. Or we can ask for the right things, the wrong things, with motives that may seem right. But we have to be careful to search out God's heart and we have to know our own heart. We have to know that we are susceptible to being greedy. We are susceptible to being self-centered. And when we're asking God of things, when we're asking in Jesus' name, we need to make sure that what we're asking is not just about me, not just about me and my family. There's nothing wrong in asking for things for ourselves. I'm not saying that. There's nothing wrong with asking for things for ourselves and our family, but that shouldn't be all that we ever ask about. And we should also be asking, Lord, open doors of opportunity for me to witness to others. Lord, give me ministry appointments today. Lord, give me ministry opportunities today. And in fact, I think that more precisely we should say, Lord, let me see or guide me to the opportunities, the appointments that you already have for me today. Because God has ordained appointments for everyone every day. And we miss them often because we're not listening, or because we're taking bad advice, or we're just too busy with worldly things or with our own desires. There's many, many reasons why we miss these things. But God wants to bless us. But until we get on board with Him, until we get in tune with the Holy Spirit, listening through the Holy Spirit to be guided into what He wants through the Scriptures. We must know the Scriptures, folks. That cannot be stated enough. We must be saturated in the Scriptures. We must keep ourselves in His Word all the time and on our knees every day in order to stay in tune with heaven, in order to stay in tune with Jesus through the Holy Spirit speaking to us. In fact, we're told that the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us into all truths. Now, He wants to do that, but if we are not listening to Him, and if we don't know the Scriptures well enough to where when He brings a Scripture to our mind, we just don't have a clue what He's trying to say, then that hinders our ability to be obedient children. So it's very significant that we search the Scriptures, that we study the Scriptures. Don't just read them, study them. There's all kinds of free resources online that will help you understand. And yes, you can get misled, but you know what? Don't just trust one resource. Continue to look at different resources until, the Holy Spirit says, this is it. Or if you're reading and the Holy Spirit says, this ain't right, leave it alone. Move on to something else. Because there's lots of options out there. And, you know, even when we read from authors that we don't agree with entirely, we can still learn. New perspectives are always good to have. But if nothing else, it helps us to understand what someone else has been taught, what someone else believes. So it helps us to have a base whereby to help minister to them. So here these blind men ask of God through Christ to be healed. Christ, in His usual manner of love, has compassion on them, touches their eyes, brings healing to them. Now, we're not told what happens to these blind men after this. We're told in another place that is blind Bartimaeus. Other gospel writers only mention one. Here, we're told there were two, and one was Bartimaeus. And, you know, when we pour our heart out to Jesus, when we pour our heart out to God in Jesus' name, He hears us. He has compassion on us. And He will guide us and give us what is right. We must learn to trust that what He give us is right, instead of thinking, well, that's not what I asked for. That's not what I wanted. I wanted for the election to turn out differently than it did, but it didn't. That was my wish. And so, you know, God has another plan, and I trust Him. And I trust that everything's going to still work out. Everything's still going to be all right, because God is still God. He's still on the throne. Folks, we can't say enough how much the love of Jesus means. And we know what it means to us, those of us who believe, those of us who have received His love. But are we sharing that love with others that we come in contact with? You know, I've been studying an online course, and one of the instructor made a statement of he learned from an elder in his church that, you know, none of us in and of ourselves have it all together, but together the church can have it all. And that's so true, because we need each other. We connect with one another because we all have different giftedness. We all have different callings. And when we all work together, it's like a symphony orchestra coming together to make this beautiful, beautiful music. Or you can say it like this: it's like a puzzle. And when all the pieces are there — you ever buy puzzles with a missing piece? Frustrating. But if you if you have all the pieces, when it's done, it's a beautiful thing. And so God put all of us as pieces of puzzle. All of us as musicians in the symphony of heaven. And when we all come together, we're all have the right picture in the puzzle pieces, and we all fit together. When we all have the right music instruments and the right, we're all on the same page, and we all have the same, our instruments are tuned properly and we're not off key, it makes a beautiful, beautiful sound when all the church is together. And I'm not just talking about inside of one building. I mean the church, folks. I'm talking about Presbyterians, Methodists, Baptists, Christians, whatever. All of us together, that's the church. So, my question is, how are we approaching God? As I've been talking, did you find yourself? Are you one of those who ask greedily for yourself and your family, but maybe not about others? Or are we the ones that are asking, Lord, show me the opportunities that you have for me to serve others today, and let me serve you by serving them? It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when we really get that opportunity. Many people do this very well every day. Some people sit their whole life as a Christian and never find this, or perhaps experience it once in their entire Christian experience. But my prayer, my goal, and my personal aim is to become better and better at this, and that you too will have that same aim, that same goal of serving others. Because what did Jesus say it is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. That's it, folks. That's it. So, I pray that we will look into our hearts, that we will evaluate ourselves and see how we're doing and be honest. God already knows, and others around us already know. So the only people we're fooling is ourselves. So we need to look inward, and we need to look upward, and we need to be honest. And if we need to make some changes, let's do it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for the examples, so many examples in the Bible for us to learn from, good and bad examples, Lord. We're shown what to do and what not to do. So help us to learn from those experiences without having to go through the what not to do as much as the learning what to do and learning how to do it your way, learning how to be a blessing instead of just wanting a blessing. Lord, wow, when we're truly humble, we're not focused on ourselves, we're focused on you and on others. That's what true humility is. It's not to think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less. So help us to do that today and every day. In Christ's name, amen. God bless. Until next week, you all take care. 'May God smile upon you more and more and more.